Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 21st of February, with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and it's time for Art Waves. Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, Between the World and Me, is a letter from Coates to his adolescent son. On a broader scale, its intention is to find a way to introduce his son to the larger socioeconomic and historical context of the fear within which African Americans, young Black men in particular, live in today's America. Among this 2015 Books Awards are the National Book Award for Nonfiction. And Between the World and Me is College of the Redwoods Book of the Year for 2016-17. There are several Book of the Year events planned for this coming week and a half at the CR Eureka campus. Those include an interactive art installation focusing on themes from the book. The installation is titled Between the Lines, Experience, Exchange, and it will be by San Francisco-based artist Mary March. This installation draws from previous works the artist has produced, including Identity, Tapestry, and Scales, which invite, or rather depend, upon willing participation by viewers. Between the Lines is scheduled to be installed in the CR Library, and at the time of the airing of this interview, it should be available for participation by students and community members and will continue through the week until Friday. This Thursday, February 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m., in the CR Performing Arts Theater, Mary March will give an artist talk. And Mary interviewed with me by phone this past Friday. I wanted to start with the title that you gave this installation, Between the Lines, Experience, Exchange. And when I was reading it, I was thinking it almost had a double, it had a double meaning for me personally, because a person can experience exchange, and then it can also be two different phenomena, experience and exchange. And so I was wondering why you are titling it what you are.
I felt first that the word between had to be in there, both to echo the book, Between the World and Me, that title, and the title of that poem. Mm-hmm. But also, for me, just the idea of between is, I love liminal space and the concept of that transformative threshold space when you're not quite something and you're not quite something else. And usually it's a transformation, but you can just exist in this doorway. So a lot of my work is concerned with between, so I felt that word had to be there. And Between the Lines, obviously, it's a literary reference, and, you know, whatever your experiences are between what actually gets recorded, you know, there's always something between the lines. There's always what, and that's, Between the Lines is also where the reader exists. Is, you know, they're reading what the author has written that is very defined, but their own experiences are playing in the background of their mind and how they relate to it, and that's what's existing between the lines for them. And then Between Lines, again, it's that threshold space. If you look at Identity Tapestry, which is one of the pieces that brought me to the college to do this piece, it's all about lines between things, connections between things, and then also divisions between things. And the idea of exchanging experiences across lines, between lines, you know, that we're very much, you know, more and more obviously contained in our own little bubbles, our own little groups, and it feels like things are more divided than ever in a lot of ways. And stepping outside of our line, across our line, into someone else's experience is so much what art is about. And it's certainly, you know, this book, not everyone is a, you know, shares the experience of this author, obviously. You know, even if you're another Black man growing up in America, as he found out going to Howard, how many other experiences of male Blackness there were in America for him. Mm-hmm. And then when he went to France and everything else, there isn't you know, any single experience. And so the idea of being able to cross those boundaries and understand someone else's experience a little bit, and exchange what you do have in common across these sort of artificial boundaries of like race, class, gender, things like that.
With this, I'm looking at the detail you sent me on this particular installation, and so what you, and I would like you to, I would like for you to expand on this, but what you had said was, in this case, the object that the responses or the pages will be placed on is a large screen made of door frame like sections which have metal grids inside. Well, first of all, pages, starting with the idea of pages, because I'm looking at pages right now. On your blog, you have you call it the first set of pages for participants, and you know, beautiful, colorful pages, you know, bound together or connected. They look connected with a type of string or rope. Are you going to be inviting people, you know, comparable to scales? Are you going to invite? Okay, so you're going to invite people to. Are you going to present them with a writing prompt or what? How,
yeah.
Oh, okay. How's this going to work?
I'll explain the process. So, in the space is going to be the structure, which is kind of like one of those screens that you change behind for people who can't look at it in front of them. And each panel is about the size of a door. And it's sort of meant to be a door that you can't actually go through, because a lot of the content of this book is about barriers. I mean, you can see through it, but you can't go through it. You can go around it. I'm also using the screen partly because it's something that you change behind. And doorways are something you change through, but these are also sort of obstacles. It's also a wall. You know, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dual messages in this, you know, in just that object. And it also sort of references a book, you know, the foldingness of it has a book reference. So it's a wall, it's a book, it's a doorway, it's a barrier, but it's a barrier you can see through. And the pages that I'm having people respond on are made out of vellum, which is a translucent material. It's not fully transparent. You can't quite see through it, but light shines through it. And the paint I used, the acrylic paint, was all... I used only pigments that were pretty transparent. So, you know, if you know about pigments, some of them are really opaque, some of them are transparent, some of them are opalescent. These you can see the light through. And so the idea is what they're writing on is something that you can see through from both sides physically. And originally I was really struggling with the colors to make these. And I, because there's so much of a bloody, fleshy feeling, you know, in the book so much of the time, and there's all those images of like battered bodies, and it sort of made me feel like maybe I would have to put something of that in the material. And so the vellum is like a kind of a skin in a way, but I've learned something about my work in the process of making this piece, which is that it's really a lure. It's something that's with this Nicole Archer, who's an art historian I'm friends with. She called it a lure. It's a, you have materials that are beautiful and touchable and colorful and playful, and it makes people want to play with them and want to interact with them. And once they do, you can get into deeper, harder things. So the materials are staying attractive, but there is a skin reference. The thread that I used is a bookbinding thread, which to me reminds me of like sinew. Almost like it's like almost like tendon material. So there is a physicality that is a little bit about the body in that, and they are hanging. There is some element of those things, but it's kept in the background a little bit. And so basically, these will be laid out, this like beautiful rainbow of colors that are, you know, touchable and friendly feeling, are going to be laid out on a table, along with cards that have different writing prompts, essentially. And none of the writing prompts is anything just specific to, you know, a book, you could not read the book, and these would all be applicable, and they don't exclude anybody. You don't have to be from a particular demographic or, you know, anything to feel these, which is why I wrote them that way. They're meant to be human questions, but they are all questions that are really addressed in the book. And then, so they write their response to one of these, on one of these, the pages, and they put it into this box. I made this sort of, like, fabric black box thing, and as they put theirs in, they take someone else's out without being able to see what the person wrote on it, and they're going to read what the other person did. And each panel has two sides of a similar issue and a label, essentially, at the top. Like, there's resistance and compliance are two different sides of the same panel, for example. And so if they feel that story is about resistance, you know, is about resistance, they would hang it on the resistance side of that panel.
Mm.
And so once you kind of get somebody to read somebody else's story and think about what it means in the context of this very literal frame that is based on the content of the book, then you're getting them to interact, not just introspect themselves about the ideas in the book, but to read somebody else's introspection and to put that in the context of the book and the major ideas. So that's what I'm doing.
And so when you arrive here and put up the, basically, are you putting up the, I guess, frame of this installation and then the community on February 23rd or beforehand will be, you know, actually creating the designs of the sculpture because they're awaiting our writing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the best part about participatory work is that I never know exactly what it's going to look like. I mean, when you reach a certain level of technical skill with art, as soon as you think of something, I mean, the materials push back and stuff, but if you really get really good at a certain material, it gets kind of boring when you have something in your head and you know you can do it. It's already done in your mind. But, you know, when the public, I mean, I feel like participatory work is so exciting because it's that other level of engagement. I there was a point when I realized that art wasn't really finished until it had a viewer. And then once I realized that, participatory work, where the viewer, like, responds back, got that much more interesting to me. And for me, it's great to see. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I do know to a degree what's going to happen. But, you know, I won't know what the piece looks like until, you know, people have interacted with it.
Artist Mary March. Her installation, Between the Lines, Experience Exchange, was created for College of the Redwoods as part of its celebration of Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, Between the World and Me, which is this year's Book of the Year for CR. Between the Lines is scheduled to be in the CR Library, Eureka Campus, all week. Mary March will also give an artist talk this Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m., in the CR Performing Arts Theater. I'm Wendy Butler, and you are listening to Art Waves on KHSU.
You know, one thing I found with pieces like this is that you sort of need a critical mass to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
People feel a little bit nervous being the first person on their own doing it. So,
right.
You know, if somebody, say, brings a class by the piece, or, you know, there's some kind of group event, then I think that'll start it off. But, we'll see how it looks by the end of the night on Thursday. It may not be fully done. I've got over 600 of the pages made. Each one of those is individually hand-painted because I'm crazy like that. But, yeah, we'll see how far it gets by Thursday, but it'll go until all the pieces are used up.
And then on Thursday, you're also going to be giving a more of a formal talk as well, or is this, or was that not your plan?
Yes, yeah, no, I'm giving an artist talk, and then there's a reception.
And then that's separate from ongoing what's going to be happening. In other words, your sculpture or your the area where it is going to be open throughout the week, and people can even be adding to it while you are giving your formal talk in another location.
Yes.
Okay. And just again, visualizing this, are people, they're writing, of course, are people going to also be invited then to hang the pages up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's it. So basically the action is they choose one to write on. They choose a writing prompt. And I feel like it's very important to give people a choice of writing prompts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, interactive art is hard. People don't want... It's hard for people to start sometimes. And when you make it fun, if you make it not a trap... You know, I feel like giving people a choice, you know, if there's a prescribed set of actions, you don't need humans to do this. You could have a robot do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so
giving people a choice of what they want to respond to, what's meaningful to them, you know, is important to me. And so then, you know, they pick one of the eight and then respond to that. And then they put it in this box and... When they put theirs in the box, they take somebody else's out at the same time, basically. And then they hang somebody else's piece. And part of that's part of the empathy and the exchange is that it's a literal exchange. You're exchanging your experience for someone else's, and you're thinking about it in the context of the framework of the book. And, you know, that I'm sure if somebody else did the framework of the book for a different situation, they would come up with different themes. And those are really, I really struggled with the text for the panels, you know, the categories.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was about striking the balance between what is specific and core to the book and what other people from all different walks of life are going to identify with. And also not doing the questions one-to-one. So there's a question that obviously is going to end up on that panel, right? That would make it less interesting. You want to, you know, some of the main points of the books are in the questions, you know, and not in the, you know, the panel. But the way they interact should, I think, help connect the students to the book and each other, that was the goal.
Yeah, and with the different choices that you'll give in terms of where people could place the response that they're looking at, a response itself can defy categorization, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which gets into where people do weird stuff. But I don't want to encourage. Unfortunately, the weird stuff often physically breaks things.
Oh, no.
But that's actually one of the exciting things. I did a piece that I haven't done. It was sort of more of a sketch in my studio, and I haven't done a formal version of it in a gallery or show. Identity Tapestry now I've done 10 times all over the country and mm-hmm. once in Europe. But I did a piece called... I changed the name a few times. It was about binary ideas. And the questions, were, the personal questions were binary yes-no questions. And I made them specifically difficult to, like, things that you would really want to debate with yourself. But what if, you know, like, have you ever saved someone's life?
Mm-hmm.
What counts? Does a cat count as someone? Does saving someone from their drug addiction count? Does, you know, like, where do you decide? And I deliberately made those questions non-binary, and because I like that struggle, I think that struggle to define something and to realize that you can't and you're going to have to settle for something is part of what's interesting. It's part of what gets your brain working. And so if I just had a very, very leading question that easily fit into the categories, then you wouldn't do that work. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I am curious. Well, I am curious about your background in art or in art making. Did you, when you were younger, were you training to be an artist? Or, I mean, how did the idea of making art come upon you? Do you recall?
I always did. My first job that I made money to buy Legos with as a kid was making little tiny Fimo, like pies and cakes for a dollhouse store. You know, like I did my first mural commission when I was 16, for a cafe on 3rd Street in Santa Monica. So I was always doing art. I had a very good art teacher in high school who I didn't appreciate enough. Shout out to Miss Hall. And she was amazing. And you don't ever appreciate teachers enough when you're with them. I got two undergrads. I did an undergrad in history of religions and an undergrad in arts. And then I did a master's in education, which has a lot of things about cognitive science and sociology and development and biases and, you know, perception, things that are really useful to an artist. And then I did another master's in art. So I keep circling back to it. My mother is an anthropologist and my father was a sociologist. So, these things have been, you know, ideas of how people interact and their connections between each other have always been there for me. And I used to do a lot more writing, so text has never left me. You know, I read very widely. So I have things coming in from all sides. I travel a lot. I try to keep lots of different interests in my life going. You know, I don't just hang out with artists. I hang out with nuclear physicists and rocket scientists and neurologists and, you know, stay-at-home moms and carpenters and, you know, so I like to get input from a lot of different places and try to see the world from lots of different perspectives.
Well, inspiring. And it doesn't have to be an artist. He or she doesn't have to be an artist either. At this point in your life, who inspires you?
So many people. new people in different ways every day. Thinking about this piece and my struggles making this piece and thinking about boundaries, I was looking a lot at, I hope I don't say her name wrong, Elif Shafak's work. She's a writer, and she gave this fantastic TED Talk about circles and boundaries and crossing boundaries and empathy. And there's so many people, you know, in each in their own way that have something amazing about them that's inspiring from so many different places and fields. So, but she's the one that's at the top of my head at the moment.
And finally, for this kind of engagement, this art installation, which is so, it is dependent upon the participation, willing participation of, you know, community members. What do you consider a success? How do you, with something like this for you?
So, I don't know how this one, what's going to happen. I do know that Scales went very well. That was at Treasure Island Music Festival. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite reactions to a piece was actually when I did Identity Tapestry in Brooklyn. And a woman came up to me afterwards and said, "That was really hard. I don't know if I like myself very much. Mm-hmm. I'm just realizing that. I think I need to think more about how I'm living my life." And that was just like, I mean, it's sad. You don't want to hear that. But at the same time, that is exactly what art should be doing. At its best, that's what I hope for. I mean, I've had more happy outcomes with Identity Tapestry, where a couple came up to me, like, kind of, you know, crying and happy, and they've been together for 6 years and had just gotten engaged. And they did the piece together, and at the end they realized how much they learned about each other, and they were really excited and happy about that. You know, so those are kind of wonderful things that can happen. Or I did Dada Tarot, which is a playful piece, but What happened with that is you needed a partner, and not everyone had a partner. Mm-hmm. So there was a couple cases. One in particular I was thinking where an art student, it was at an alumni show for SFAI, an art student and then a guy who had to be in his 80s ended up partnered, and they were both kind of looking at each other like, I don't know about this person. I don't know if I want to have anything to do with this person at the beginning of the interaction. And at the end, they hugged and were like, so those kinds of connections and moments of introspection and moments of recognizing something in another person that you can identify with and connect with, that's what makes it worth it to me. That's a success.
Mary March, the San Francisco Artists Between the Lines Experience Exchange Art Installation, inviting ongoing participation from students and the community, will be in the College of the Redwoods Library, Eureka Campus, until Friday. And Mary gives an artist talk this Thursday, the 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m., in the CR Performing Arts Theater. This is part of the events celebrating CR's Book of the Year, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Between the World and Me. Other events include the Book of the Year Committee, in coordination with the Black Student Union, will present a screening of the documentary 13th tonight at 6:30 p.m. in the Performing Arts Theater. Then, next Tuesday, February 28th, 6 to 7:30 p.m., in the Performing Arts Theater, Liz Smith, local NAACP leader for Eureka, will speak on local and national racial issues relevant to Between the World and Me. For more information, you can visit redwoods.edu/events/Book of the Year. Thank you for listening. Art Waves is a production of KHSU at Humboldt State University. I'm Wendy Butler, the program's producer, engineer, and host. Art Waves is broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and available live and with archived programs at khsu.org. And podcasts are available on iTunes as well.
Listener-supported diverse public radio for the North Coast of California and the South Coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Support for KHSU comes from Six Rivers Optical, serving Humboldt County for over 25 years and offering one-hour lab service on prescriptions in stock. Open Monday through Saturday. Six Rivers Optical is across from Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. For this part, it comes from Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery on the Plaza, offering locally made fine art and craft gifts and art cards. This February, the gallery features new work by Susan Morton and Zach Shea. Arcata Artisans, never not local. More information at arcataartisans.com. It's two. It's time for How to Breathe Underwater. It's good to be back. Took a couple of weeks hiatus there from this program to allow myself time to figure out new beginnings, transition.